Will Z with us. Sports Illustrated Will Z with us. Got a really unfortunate text from Will last night. Well, this isn't ideal. Nope, and it wasn't. It was not good. We got the one thing that we were just hoping we didn't, and that was an ass-whooping. And, Will, I don't know. We don't really need to focus on last night's game. Like, just what did you see this preseason?
I don't know. It all started so exciting and so good. Feels like just yesterday I came on and we're like, DeMar 6 of 6, like offense is flowing. And then it felt like it never progressed after that. And maybe that's because they were running just kind of the free flow offense. But it looked kind of like the same thing on offense over and over and over again with every different group that was out there. Just Sabonis at the top of the key, back cuts, screens. And it's good. You see the offensive flow. But it didn't look like there was much variation to what they were doing. Maybe that's scripted. I know Malik dropped some hints that they were kind of saving some stuff for the regular season as well. But it just, nothing, there wasn't like an exciting moment. There wasn't an exciting like player. Like there's no singular moment or player that really stands out other than DeRozan's first game. And maybe Jordan McLaughlin getting his first game. But, like, is there anything that stands out to you as, like, the moment of preseason?
No, there was no moment. Like, they were all bad. Like, there weren't any good moments. If I were to pick something positive that I liked, obviously the offense in the first game looked like everything we dreamed it would look like. Mm-hmm. It was relatively short-lived. I don't think it looked it didn't look bad in the second game from against the Warriors at all. It didn't look like it did in the first one, but it didn't look bad. I think you're the one, if you're making me search for a positive takeaway, it is probably Jordan McLaughlin and the fact that, like, I think he's going to have a pretty important role here. Like he just seemed to have stepped right in and looks like a really solid ball player right out the gate.
Yeah, and he just, the little things, he wins his minutes. It's exactly what you want from like a backup point guard, I think, within that 10 to 15 minute range, give or take. Might be a little more than that, but just looks consistent. Last night was, it was a lot of minutes for him. I don't know if he could have done more, but he's not out there running the offense when he's out there. He's out there with kind of working off of Sabonis and everything. So he's not coming in to be your leader. He's not going in to score. He's doing all the little things. And he looks great in that role. Keon Ellis, I know you've been talking about him. I got some numbers that are interesting. So he last night, again, I like to take a peek at advanced ratings for games, and it's just part of a story. I know that some people don't like it because it's really a team stat, but individualized, but it tells part of a story. If you look at last night, Keon had a net rating of positive 4.9. All the other starters were in the negatives, and most of them, most of them vary in the negative, with McLaughlin negative 36.4, DeRozan, negative 33.3. Keegan, negative 12.9. Sabonis, negative 5.3. Mm-hmm. So Keon was the only starter that played positive minutes. Part of that, too, I think, is he got some run in at the end of the game. But if you look at the preseason as a whole and the net ratings, Keon is the only Kings player, actually, with a positive net rating of 0.4. Fox is second at negative 1.8. So the advanced numbers are showing that Keon is being effective. I don't think that translates as much to the eye test. And part of that, I think, is just the Kings as a whole aren't shooting well. But it appears he's affecting the game well. I know he's been really active in the deflections, but it doesn't feel like he's being as effective as it shows. Which I don't know what to make of that.
I don't either. The hell do you want me to do with that, Will? So the numbers, I don't
know. Preseason numbers are just so hard too.
Do you know what the number? This is terrible to do live. Do you know what that number that you just gave us? What that was for him last year?
Yeah, let me check.
Because and again, here's the tough part, Will. I don't know what that tells us, and that's kind of really what sparked the whole conversation is. We'll openly acknowledge that the Kings were really bad at the end of the year because Malik and I'll say, not everybody will, but Malik and Kevin weren't around. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where everything kind of like escalated with Keon. And obviously, Keon was good, but he wasn't good enough. So with the expectations that everybody has this year, what is the best role for him? And the fact is, there is no sample size whatsoever to tell us, because where Keon was playing at least at the height of his powers last year, Malik and Kevin weren't around. And then when Malik and Kevin weren't around, Keon had moments where he was very, very good, but he was still relatively in and out of the lineup. Mike was searching for the better part of last year, trying to find someone who does what Keon does. And even when Keon was doing it, I don't think Mike believed it until he really had to allow Keon to be the guy. And there was another thing I noticed last night. This is that summer league thing again. Keon was playing in the fourth quarter last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now his minute distribution was a little weird. Like, I don't think Keon played a ton of minutes. Let me make sure. Keon only played 19 minutes. But the fact that he was playing in the fourth quarter, I thought was weird.
It was odd. Yeah. So to give your answer, last year he was at a net rating of 5.5, which was third highest of the kind of key rotational players. Mm-hmm. Alex Len was first, Trey Lyles, and then Keon, followed by Fox. So similar kind of impact to last season, with about the same difference between like him at 5.5 and Fox at 4.3. It's about the same difference where they are now. But it's... And Kevin Herter, for comparison's sake, was 2.5. So I think they both affect the game. I don't want to get too hung up on the preseason stats. It's, again, they're really hard to look at preseason stats and take too much from them. But at the same time, it's the only new information that we have. So I was trying to toe the line there.
So let me ask you this. Are you know the numbers better than any of us, but numbers are just numbers. You can manipulate them to mean whatever you want them to mean. With what we've seen over the last five games, with the way that the season ended last year, are you concerned about what this team looks like this year?
Yes, a little bit. I'm concerned that they don't have enough offense off of the bench. And part of that, I think, can really change with Herter and Lyles coming back. But you see all of their role players. If you take out, we have the four starters of Fox, Keegan, Sabonis, DeRozan, and Monk. Like, those are your key offensive players. Throw in Herter and Lyles. So when one of them goes down, all of the other players that can come in and take their spots, Mason Jones, Isaac Jones, Colby Jones, McLaughlin, Len, they're all defensive players. Like, you can't expect them to get more than 6 points or so. So I worry that if injuries happen, which probably will throughout the season, I don't know if they have enough offense to bring in. Their top guys are really good on offense, and I think we know that. But you are asking those kind of top 4 or 5 players to score 80 points on any given night. Like, multiple of them have to be on for the Kings, I think, to score enough. I think they have that ability, but the injuries are concerning to me when you look at the roster as a whole and kind of that back end of the rotation and what they can provide if they have to step up and play bigger minutes.
Will Z of SI with us here. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM Carrick's QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Will love this. Head over to trainwithmap.fit. ESPN1320. Take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation that they have just for you. Take advantage of the free macro calculator that they have there to determine what types of foods you should eat, how much protein, how much carbs, how much, based on your goals, based on your size, based on your training regimen, all of that stuff. It takes all of that into account and gives you, it's a very generic tool that works really, really well. But if you really want to get in depth, take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation. And of course, you could click on the MapTrition link and get your strength enhancers, your fat burners, your cravings crushers, your protein powders, all of that good stuff. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. It's almost difficult, Will, to admit that, like, yeah, like I'm a little concerned about the way that this looked, especially with the way that the first game went. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's acknowledging, like, yeah, it did. It looked really good. And I think the biggest thing, like, if you really wanted to, like, discount the preseason, or, you know, the preseason in its totality, I think you could, but the one thing you'd have to acknowledge is the offense clearly can be hot and cold. Starters, rotational play, whatever. Like the offense can clearly be hot and cold, which is something we saw last year.
Yep.
And I think that's, if I were to dumb everything down into a single concern, Will, it's what we've seen over these five games are some trends that we actually saw last year. So I'm not super comfortable going into the season either. Of course, that can all change on Thursday with a win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm going to stop short of saying a solid performance against the Minnesota Timberwolves, because no. Y'all think this is a 50-win team. Y'all think this is potentially a top-four team. You think DeMar DeRozan has changed the futures of this team. Great. Then a good showing against Minnesota is not going to be good enough on your home floor to start the season. Get out there and get a dub and erase what this preseason has looked like.
And they definitely can't come out flat. Like, that would be building on the preseason vibes to come out, and if you just get, like, run over in the first quarter, would be a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And I think deflate a lot of people around the area. So you got to come out ready to go, which will be, again, like you said, that was a big point last year. So something that I think a lot of us will definitely be watching. Looking at DeRozan's numbers, do you think that he just wasn't super aggressive in the preseason? He shot 14... His field goal attempts, 6, 14, 10, 15, 8. I think that when he was brought in, it was kind of a, he will help the Kings when they get stagnant on offense.
Yeah.
When games like last night, and especially against like Portland, it felt like a game where someone needs to get going. And I expected it to be him, and it didn't really feel like he did. Maybe that's a scheme. I don't know what their plans are for games, but I think I expected him to take over a little bit more than he did in any of the games.
I'm with you. I was really, I was disappointed yesterday, because I thought if even for a half with De'Aaron gone, with Malik, this is your game, DeMar and Domas. And it looked like, and I said this to start, well, it looked like a game no one wanted to play except for Domantas Sabonis and Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott was going to get his shots.
He's not
up.
Shy.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. Like, he looked like he gave a crap. Domas looked like he gave a crap. DeMar, and I'm not going to be, DeMar, 36 years old, Hall of Famer, he looked like he wanted to get through the game. And I don't fault guys for that, and that's my own, like, misinterpretation of what was happening, because when I got the alert, when we all got the alert that Malik and De'Aaron were out, it was like, all right, DeMar and Domas, go get this. Maybe shut them down at halftime, let the rest of the guys do their thing, but let DeMar be the king, so to speak, for that first half. And it just didn't happen. But I don't have a direct answer to your question, man. I have no idea. I don't know if it was the flow of the game. Again, he looked like the greatest player that ever wore a Kings uniform that night against the Warriors. And then It just, you know, you felt like, okay, he's settling in a little bit in the second one. And I do wonder if once the Warriors games were done, they were done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you had that horrible game against Portland in the middle of the Sunday afternoon and like Utah, and now you're traveling. Now it's a road trip. And it's just like, man, let's just get this over with. We're already watching film on Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle and this group that many people think are going to compete for the Western Conference Championship.
Yeah. And I also wonder if maybe it's going to take DeRozan and Sabonis a little more time to get their two-man game going than we originally thought, in the aspect of when DeRozan is handling the ball in pick-and-roll situations. Because a huge key for him and Vucevic last year in Chicago was the little like drop-off pass for the pick-and-pop.
Mm-hmm.
Vuc would shoot it. Like, he got a ton of looks off of the pick-and-roll from DeRozan. And we know Sabonis, he's been shooting the mid-range more in the preseason and more threes, but it's just not something that he's going to automatically go to. So last night it looked like the Clippers were really doubling DeRozan hard and kind of switching two onto him and leaving Sabonis. And it maybe some of that chemistry just isn't quite there yet, which is understandable. It's five games. So hopefully that's something that will grow with time as well. We've seen the dribble handoff game work, but what's the pick and roll going to look like in the long term?
Yeah, it's a great rhetorical question because I don't have an answer to it.
Yeah. Time will tell.
I mentioned how all of the parallels to last year, if I lump this all together, was my biggest concern of the preseason. Mm-hmm. Do you have one in particular where you're just like, this will get better. This will get better. But man, this is tough.
Yeah, I do. It's their interior defense has been like abysmal so far in the preseason, which is not ideal. So they're doing a really good job of limiting looks inside. Opponents are only shooting 15.2 field goal attempts in the restricted area. That's the fewest allowed in the preseason, but they're hitting at a 72.4% clip, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth highest, with two of the teams ahead of them being the New Zealand Breakers and the, Radio Farm Ulm. Apologies for probably saying that wrong, but two non-NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't showing it's a glaring weakness. The attempts are good and limiting those looks. I think part of that is their penchant for going for deflections and steals. And that's where we're going to see them make the biggest defensive strides this year. But you have to be able to add a little bit of resistance inside in terms of affecting those shots.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really didn't pop up in the preseason.
Keon start Pause. Next to very nice. Very nice. Well done.
Think he has to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard to imagine Herder going in cold without any game action in the starting lineup.
Do you believe in my theory that Mike actually hates Kevin Herder?
Yes. There's so many. That's a quick yes. There's so many little things the way he talks about it, it's just like, oh, man.
When they tell me he's ready to play, he'll play. Mike, they told us 3 days ago, dog.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right, man. I don't know why I thought he was going to play last night. I just felt, when they said, no, Doug McDermott's available to play. Oh, Kevin's got to be playing. No. Mm-hmm. No, we're good. We don't need Kevin. We got Dougie McBuckets tonight. Not enough threes to go around.
It did feel good. Him and Keegan, Dougie McBuckets and Keegan on the floor together, I really like. Those are two lethal shooters out there, and they just look, you can see the size when it's like, oh, we have two wings playing now.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, it feels so foreign to us, but I like the combo of Keegan and McDermott,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really interested in the lineup of those two and Kevin Herter. And throw in probably Sabonis and whatever point guard, but the three high volume, high efficiency shooters on the court is something that really intrigues me with the idea of those three players.
What'd you think of Keegan this preseason?
I thought he looked good. Nice and aggressive, which I think is the kind of the step that we're hoping he takes. he didn't shoot well from three, but no one did. He got to the line really well in one of the games, getting, I think, 8 free throw attempts. He averaged 2 per game. Rebounds, 3.6, just looking at his general stats. But it felt like he was out there making an impact, which is good because so many people were saying with DeRozan that he would kind of be the one to take a step back. And I think his continued growth with this team will continue to be so important. I have to think about everything I say on this show now.
No, I know. It's terrible. It like you've lost the ability to just have a natural conversation because of... I'm not going to blame it all on the chat. I mean, you know, but yeah, I understand, Will. I understand. Man, great stuff as always, Will. Well, we'll be talking next week, my friend.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, regular basketball is back. Sean Cunningham just tweeting, hearing from sources, DeMar DeRozan is not with the Kings at practice in Sacramento. Due to personal reasons, his absence is not expected to be long-term. Again, that's from Sean Cunningham. Kings practice is actually going on right now. Sean tweets, hearing from sources, DeMar DeRozan is not with the Kings at practice in Sacramento due to personal reasons. His absence is not expected to be long-term. Again, that's from Sean Cunningham. The Kings are practicing now. If we have any sound from that, we will certainly bring it to you. Well, great stuff as always, my friend. We're excited for the season to get here, and we'll talk more next week.
Thanks, Damian. Appreciate it.